Chapter 16. Irabut to expose the mysteries of private life, and to injure the delicate feelings of humble individuals like myself, who have no idea of being made the subject of newspaper criticism. I allude, sir, to the unjustifiable use which has been made of my name in your journal, where both my mechanical speculations and the inmost PASHSN of my art have been brought forwards in a ridiculous way for the public amusement. What call, sir, has the public to inquire into the circumstances of my engagements with Miss Mary Ann Oggins, or to meddle with their rupture? Why am I to be made the object of your ridicule in a doggerel ballad imputed to her? I say imputed, because, in my time at least, Mary Ann could only sign her plus mark, as I've often witnessed it for her, when she paid in at the savings bank, and as for sacrificing to the muses and making poetry, she was as incapable as Mr. Wackley himself. With respect to the ballad, my bailiff is, that it is wrote by a footman in a low family, a poor wretch who attempted to rival me in my affections to Mary Ann, a feller not 5'6", and with no more calves to his legs than a donkey who was always a written, having been a doctor's boy, and who I knocked down with a pint of porter, as he well recollects, at the Three Tuns Jermyn Street, for daring to try to make a butt of me. He has signed Miss H's name to his nonsense and lies. And you lay yourself open to a action for libel for inciting them in your paper. It is false that I have treated Miss H ill in any way. That I borrowed £20 of her is true. But she confesses I paid it back. Can all people say as much of the money they've lent or borrowed? No. And I not only paid it back, but give her the handsomest presents. Which I never should have alluded to, but for this attack. First, a silver thimble which I found in Miss Suss's workbox. Second, a volume of Byram's poems. Third, I always brought her a glass of Curacao when we had a party, of which she was remarkable fond. I treated her to Ashley's twice, and always a shrimp or a oyster by the way, and a thousand delicate attentions, which I suppose count for nothing. As for marriage, altered circumstances rendered it impossible. I was gone into a new sphere of life mingling with my native aristocracy. I breathe no syllable of blame against Miss H, but is a illiterate cookmaid fit to set at a fashionable table? Do young fellers of rank generally marry out of the kitchen? If we cast our eyes upon a low-born gal, I needn't say it's only a temporary distraction, poor Passy Latom. So much for her claims upon me. As for that beast of a doctor's boy, he's unworthy the notice of a gentleman. That I've won £30,000, and perhaps more, I don't deny. How much has the Kilisus of Railroads won, I should like to know, and what was his capital? I entered the market with £20, speculated judicious, and am what I am. So may you be if you have £20, and perhaps you haven't, so may you be, if you choose to go in and win. I for my part am justly proud of my success, and could give you 100 instances of my gratitude. For example, the first pair of horses I bought, and a better pair of steppers I defy you to see in any curricle. I christened Hull and Selby, in grateful allusion to my transactions in that railroad. My riding cob I called very unaptly my Dublin and Galway. He came down with me the other day, and I've just sold him at 1/4 discount. At first with prudence and moderation I only kept 2 grooms for my stables, one of whom likewise waited on me at table. I have now a confidential servant, a valet de chambre. He curls my hair, inspects my accounts, and answers my invitations to dinner. I call this valley my Trent Valley, for it was the profit I got from that excellent line, which induced me to engage him. Besides my North British plate and breakfast equipage, I have 2 handsome services for dinner, the gold plate for Sundays, and the silver for common use. When I have a great party, Trent, apostrophe I say to my man, we will have the London and Birmingham play today the gold, or else the Manchester and Leeds the silver, dot apostrophe apostrophe I bought them, after realizing on the above lines, and if people suppose that the company's made me a present of the plate, how can I help it? In the same way I say, Trent, bring us a bottle of Bristol amid Exeter. Apostrophe apostrophe, or, put some eastern counties in ice. Apostrophe he knows what I mean. It's the wines I bought upon the auspicious termination of my connection with those two railroads. So strong, indeed, as this abbot become, that being asked to stand godfather to the youngest Miss Diddle last week, I had her christened, provisionally, Rossimo from the French line of which I am director. And only the other day, finding myself rather unwell, Doctor, apostrophe says I to Sir James Clark, I've sent to consult you, because my Midlands are out of order, and I want you to send them up to a premium. Apostrophe apostrophe the doctor laughed, and I bell have told the story subsequently at Buckingham PLLS, but I will trouble you no farther. My sole object in writing has been to clear my character to show that I came by my money in a honorable way, that I'm not ashamed of the manner in which I gained it, and am indeed grateful for my good fortune. To conclude, I have had my pedigree made out at the Herald office, I don't mean the Morning Herald, and have took for my arms a stag. You are correct in stating that I am of ancient Norman family. This is more than Peel can say. To Wham I applied for a baronetcy, but the premier being of low extraction, naturally stickles for his order. Conservative though I be, I may change my opinions before the next election, when I intend to offer myself as a candidate for Parliament. Meanwhile, I have the honor to be, sir, your most obedient servant, Fitz James de la Plutch. The Diary. One day in the panic week, our friend James called at our office, evidently in great perturbation of mind and disorder of dress. He had no flower in his buttonhole, his yellow kid gloves were certainly 2 days old. He had not above 3 of the 10 chains he usually sports, and his great coarse knotty knuckled old hands were deprived of some dozen of the rubies, emeralds, and other cameos with which, since his elevation to fortune, the poor fellow has thought fit to adorn himself. "How's Scrip, Mr. James?" said we pleasantly, greeting our esteemed contributor. "Scrippy," replied he, with an expression we cannot repeat, and a look of agony it is impossible to describe in print, and walked about the parlor whistling, humming, rattling his keys and coppers, and showing other signs of agitation. "At last, Mr. Punch," says he, after a moment's hesitation, "I wish to speak to you on a pint of business. I wish to be paid for my contributions to your paper. Circumstances is altered with me. In a word, can you lend me 50? For the account?" He named the sum. It was one so great that we don't care to mention it here, but on receiving a check for the amount on Messrs. Pump and Aldgate, our bankers, tears came into the honest fellow's eyes. He squeezed our hand until he nearly wrung it off, and shouting to a cab, he plunged into it at our office door, and was off to the city. Returning to our study, we found he had left on our table an open pocketbook, of the contents of which, for the sake of safety, we took an inventory. It contained 3 tavern bills, paid, a tailor's ditto, unsettled, 49 allotments in different companies, 26,700 shares in all, of which the market value we take, on an average, to be 1/4 discount, and in an old bit of paper tied with pink ribbon a lock of chestnut hair, with the initials M.A. H., in the diary of the pocketbook was a journal, jotted down by the proprietor from time to time. At first the entries are insignificant. As, for instance, "Road January our beer in the Servants' Hall, so precious small at this Christmas time, that I really must give warning, and would, but for my dear Mary Ann. February 7 that brute screw, the butler, wanted to kiss her, but my dear Mary Ann boxed his whole ears, and served him right. idatists group, and so forth. Then the diary relates to stock exchange operations, until we come to the time when, having achieved his successes, Mr. James quitted Berkeley Square and his livery, and began his life as a speculator and a gentleman upon town. It is from the latter part of his diary that we make the following extracts. When I announced in the servants' hall my possession of hoarding, and that by the exercise of my own talents and ingenuity I had realized a sum of £20,000, it was only five, but what's the use of a man depreciating the quality of his own mackerel? When I announced my abrupt intention to cut, you should have shown the sensation among all the people. Cook wanted to know whether I wouldn't like a sweat bread, or the slice of the breast of a cold turkey. Screw, the butler, whom I always detested as a insolent hoverbring beast, begged me to walk into the upper servants' hall and try a glass of superior Chateau Margaux. Even Wisp, the coachman, held out his and said, "James, I hopes there's no quarreling betwixt you and me, and I'll stand a pot of beer with pleasure." ... the sycophants. That worry cook had split on me to the housekeeper one e last week, catching me prigging some cold turtle soup, of which I'm remarkable fond. As for the butler, I always abominated him for his precious sneers, and imprints to all us gents who wore livery he never would sit in our parlor, fasooth, nor drink out of our mugs. And in regard of this, why, it was one the day before the vulgar beast offered to fight me, and threatened to give me a good hiding if I refused. "Gentlemen and ladies," says I, as haughty as may be, "there's nothing that I want for, that I can't go for, to buy with my own money, and take at my lodgings in Albany, letter X. If I'm undry, I've no need to refresh myself in the kitchen." And so saying, I took a dignified adieu of these menial domestics, and ascending to my apartment in the four-pair back, brushed the powder out of my hair, and taking off those hodges liveries for Heaver, put on a new suit, made for me by Cullen of St. James Street, and which fitted my manly figure as tight as wax. There was one person in the house with whom I was rather anxious to avoid a personal leave-taking, Mary Ann Oggins, I mean, for my art is natural tender, and I can't abide seeing a poor gal in pain. I'd given her previous the information of my departure, doing the handsome thing by her at the same time paying her back £20, which she'd lent me 6 months before, and paying her back not only the interest, but I gave her an handsome pair of scissors and a silver thimble, by way of bonus. "Mary Ann," says I, "circumstances has altered our relative positions in life. I quit the servants' hall forever, for as for your marrying a person in my rank, that, my dear, is all gammon. And so I wish you a goodbye, my good gal, and if you want to better yourself, always refer to me." Mary Ann didn't answer my speech, which I think was remarkable kind, but looked at me in the face quite wild-like, and bust into something betwixt a laugh and a cry, and fell down with her head on the kitchen dresser, where she lay until her young missus rang the dressing room bell. Would you believe it? She left the thimble and things, and my check for £20 L zeros, on the table when she went to answer the bell. And now I heard her sobbing and whimpering in her own room next, but one to mine, with the door open, perhaps expecting I should come in and say goodbye. But, as soon as I was dressed, I cut downstairs, only desiring Frederick, my fellow servant, to fetch me a cab, and requesting permission to take leave of my lady and the family before my departure. How Miss Emily did ogle me, to be sure. Her ladyship told me what a sweet gal she was, amiable, fond of poetry, plays the guitar. Then S.E.H. asked me if I liked blonde booties and auburn hair. Auburn, indeed. I don't like carrots. As it must be confessed, Miss Emily's is, and as for a blonde beauty, S.E. has pink eyes like a albino, and her face looks as if it were dipped in a bran mash. How she squeeched my, and as she went away. Mary Ann now has auburn hair, and a complexion like roses and ivory, and eyes as blue as even. I Jeff Frederick 2 and 6 for fetching the cab been resolved to act the gentleman in all things. How he stared. 25th. I am now director of 47 advantageous lines, and have passed all day in the city. Although I've 8 or 9 new suits of clothes, and Mr. Cullen fits me elegant, yet I fancy they all recognize me. Conscience whispers to me, Jeems, you're only a footman in disguise after all. Apostrophe, 28th. Been to the opera. Music toll all. That lablash is a whopper at singing. I couldn't make out why some people called out bravo, apostrophe some braver, and some bravee. Apostrophe bravee, lablash, apostrophe says I, at which everybody laughed. I'm in my new stall. I've had new cushions put in, and my arms and gold on the back. I'm dressed all in black, except a gold waistcoat and diamond studs in the embroidered bosom of my chemise. I wear a camellia japonica in my button ole, and have a double-barreled opera gloss, so big, that I make Timmons, my second man, bring it in the other cab. What an extraordinary exhibition that Potty Carter is. If those four gals are fairies, Tellyanna is suddenly the fairy queen. She can do all that they can do, and some think they can't. There's an indescribable grace about her, and Carlotty, my sweet Carlotty, she sets my art in flames. Oh, that Miss Emily was nodding, and winking at me out of their box on the fourth tier? What lynx eyes she must have. As if I could mount up there. P. S.S. Talking of mounting up. The St. Helena's walked up 4% this very day. 2nd July. Rode my Bayos Desperation in the park. There was me, Lord George Ringwood, Lord Cinqbur's son, Lord Balibunian, Honorable Captain Trapp, and several other young swells. Sir John's carriage there in course. Miss Emily lets fall her bookie as I pass, and I'm obliged to get off, and pick it up, and get splashed up to the his. The jettin' on horseback of gin is always the juice and all. Just as I was on, Desperation begins a-pouring the air with his 4 feet, and sinks down so on his anches, that I'm blessed, if I didn't slip off a gin over his tail, at which Balibunian and the other chaps roared with laughter. As Bally has estates in Queens County, I've put him on the St. Helena direction. We call it the Great St. Helena Napoleon Junction, apostrophe from Jamestown to Longwood. The French are taking it up eagerly. 6th July. Dined today at the London Tavern with one of the Welsh boards of direction I'm on. The CWRWMWRW and Plwydlwm, with tunnels through Snouting and Plinlimming. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.